I think we have a lot of specials today, so I'll get right with. I'm going to give the format today is for those tuning in. Welcome, India. I think India is with us today and various places around the world. The format is I'm going to give a brief sermon, as brief as I can do, and then we'll go into the Christmas program right from there. So without further ado, I'll do my portion, then we'll do the Christmas that I know you are all looking forward to. I wanted to start by, and I know you're not going to be able to see the bottom, but I'll read the bottom, and I tried to put just on the top, so I don't know how much of it you can see back there. But what does Christmas mean to you? That's what I wanted to talk about today. And I got a question out there that we do questions of the week every Tuesday. And I got a question that came in and wanted to know. And I'll read it in just a second. But first of all, I wanted to, you know, we've got these different movies out there. And I have my favorite up there with What a Wonderful Life. And there's various Christmas movies here. And for the kids, you know, The Grinch and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus and all that, Frosty the Snowman. What is your favorite Christmas movie? Wonderful Life. Yeah, that's my favorite too. So this is the theme. What does Christmas mean to you? We're getting attacked. And I don't know if you've seen these road signs, but that's an actual road sign. It's in a couple of places around the country. And, yeah. Go ahead and skip church. That's the message they want to portray, the atheists. And it's spending time, and here's their message. Spending time with the family, swapping gifts, having a meal together, is inherently secular and not religious. You know, for years, they're a little bitter on this. For years, they've been invited over to our family meals and so forth, and they have to listen to us pray. And they have to listen to us talk about Jesus, and it bothers them. They don't want to do it, but yet they don't want to not come either. So they're starting to change the message, and they're saying, hey, this is a secular thing. We don't want Christ in it, so live with it. Here's another one. You've seen these ads are everywhere. It's Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. Or it might say, in my home. And you'll see this around also. And the message is, get it right, and these are quotations, get it right, Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. And, you know, this happens to be from Dundee University, but you can get it, you can see books, you can see it on billboards or ads everywhere. And it's very offensive. It's very offensive. But here's the question I got from our congregation, whether it be here or online, I don't say ever, but here's the question. Would the ministry have a recommendations of how the Church of Christ members should celebrate other holidays? And this was particular to the point concerning Christmas. They were concerned over Christmas and all the paganism surrounding this as well as other commercial aspects. And they want to know, how should we celebrate Christmas? And I can't speak from all the ministry, but I can tell you in this sermon how I feel about it and what we should be doing about it. And to the point, this is another the thing the atheists are putting out and shoving this thing in our nose. And it talks about mistletoes, it talks about wreaths, it talks about the Yule log, it talks about their Christmas tree, it talks about the reindeer, it talks about, I can't see that other thing, but Saint Nick, if you will, I think it is. It talks about how we came to believe all these things. Because they're making the point, all these things came to us. What have any of these things do with Christ? That's their argument. What do these things have to do with Christ? And they can tell you, and it's my job to prepare you, you're going to hear these things. And I want you to be prepared how to handle them. And every one of these things, they can, and I'll take you through a few of them real quickly. They didn't come to us from the birth of Christ. Those things that you've seen in the first one, they came from other places. And they were adopted into Christmas. The Roman holiday, Saturnalia. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll probably ask for that name again. But this is the worship of Saturn. It was the Roman god of agriculture. And the Romans believed, I'm sure you had to take some in school, all the different gods, and you know, they're a joke, of course. But they actually believed these at one time. It was the merriest festival of the year. Many decorations involved. Greenery, swaths, garlands, wreaths, etc. being hung over the doorways and windows and ornamenting stairs. Ornaments and trees included the sun's symbols, stars, faces on their god Janus. Was a time of merrymaking and exchanging gifts. Houses were decorated with greenery and lights, and gifts were given to the children and the poor. And this isn't a fluke here. This is out of Britannica. I got most of these references out of Britannica. And I read these things, and I wanted to have a good source. And this is how they celebrated. Does this ring a bell? This was celebrated before Christmas. Before the Christians started celebrating Christmas. So what they're saying is true, that they did have this thing prior to Christmas. When was it? One of the best known festivals in the Roman world was this holiday. The winter festival celebrated from December 17th to the 24th. Because it was a time of wild merrymaking and domestic celebration, businesses, schools, and law courts were closed so the public could feast, dance, gamble, generally enjoy themselves to the fullest. Well, they did more than that. There were no laws. If you broke any type of law during that time, you would not be prosecuted. They shut down their courts. You could do whatever you want. It was that type of celebration. And you can imagine how it went. Concerning the next day, December 25th, the birthday of Mitra, the Iranian light, god of light. What's another way of saying god of light? Sun god. Okay. The day devoted to the invincible sun, as well as the day of day after the other holiday, right, was adopted by the church as Christmas. The Nativity of Christ, to counteract the effects of these festivals. Did you get that? Britannica. What they did was they held that, you know, we all know that December 25th was not the birth of our Lord. You know, it was either in the fall or the spring, and we know it to be the spring. We know exactly what day he was born, and it wasn't December 25th. But they picked this date. And don't worry if you're a little depressed at this point. It does get better. I want to throw that out there. I want to give you guys some information so you can deal with this and to tell you exactly how we are to worship and how we're to handle Christmas. And we're not to, you know, we aren't to be ignorant about these things. So they picked at the end of this other holiday, they incorporated these other things into the idea of Christmas. And they labeled it the 25th there, and that's their sun god. And, you know, they needed that for agriculture. They needed the sun to make their agriculture grow. So that's why the Romans did it. The Catholic Church did it so they would indoctrinate all these heathens into the faith. And I've got to tell you, they do that all the time. They did it with all their holidays. They did it with, you know, we were in Mayan, the Mayan culture down in Guatemala. We lived there for quite a while, and you'd see a holy Mayan site, and instead of the temple now, they would wipe that out a lot of times, and they'd put a Catholic church. And at both ends, a lot of the time, of the town hall. And that was their two Mayan temples. And they you know, you'd go to Huehuetenango, and you'd go there, and there'd be a Catholic church on the holy site, and you'd have a Catholic service going on. In the back, you'd have a Mayan service going on with smoke and all that good stuff. And it's not uncommon. That's what they do. They assimilate. They pull in these other doctrines and then make them their own. And like I say, don't get depressed over this. Sinister Claus would eventually be corrupted to Santa Claus. That's where we get the name Santa Claus. And I'll try not to, I'll concentrate here on those and not saying the wrong words to our children. But this is where we originally celebrated Sinister Feast. Okay, Santa Claus Feast. It was originally started in December 5th or December 6th, depending on where you lived. And this was brought over here by the Dutch. And after the Revolutionary War, we started celebrating Santa Claus, okay? But it wasn't until the Revolutionary War, 1700 and something, that the U.S. started doing this. Pope Gregory I, that you might remember him, he was the first pope, if you will, in 600 A.D. He's recognized around the world as being the first pope, the Bishop of Rome, but he was the pope. Once wrote to his missionary in England not to block traditional pagan feasts, instructing him instead to adopt them to the rites of the church, only changing the reason from the heathen to the Christian impulse. And you can find this at a couple of different sources. It's in books, and it's also in the Christian Post, if you care to go to that website. So, again, they assimilate. They let the heathens do what they want to do, you know, the greenery, the lights, and all the decorations on the tree. It was originally decorated outside the tree, then they brought it inside by the Germans. But they adopt, and they bring them into our worship. And again, I'm not lecturing here, but I'm getting you the information. You can choose how to worship Jesus Christ your own way. But these are the things that were brought in and introduced, and they weren't in the United States until the 1700s. They didn't practice these things. They didn't have a Santa Claus, if you will. Okay, assimilating pagan beliefs. To assimilate, to take in and incorporate one into one own beliefs, to absorb. Bring in conformity with customs and attitudes. And that's what we did. That's what they did. The Yule time log, you may not know how you got that, but that was assimilated from something else. It was the same holiday, if you will. Food, good fellowship, Yule log, Yule cakes, greenery, fern trees, gifts were all greetings of commemorated the different aspects of this festive season. Fire and light, symbols of warmth and lasting life. And remember, this is prior to the Catholics bringing about this holiday on December 25th. Okay? And now it's called Christmas. Christ, mass meaning it's the sacrament. Christ's sacrament is what that means. All right? So they assimilated the Yule time log. So all these things that you do about a tradition, you don't do them out of, trying to worship a pagan god, but that's where they come from. I just want to let you know that when you hang that wreath, this is where it comes from. Okay? The early Protestants even fought against Christmas. You know, is that distasteful? It is. It's, you know, before I started, I never know where these things are going to lead. But the early Protestants had laws against celebrating Christmas because they didn't want these things. They were bringing these wreaths. They were bringing this Santa Claus in. They were bringing these other things in that distracted us from Christ. And they didn't want it. So they had laws in the country. If you were caught celebrating Christmas in this way, you were fined. Public notice, the Puritans, the English Parliament, if you will, it banned Christmas for at least 12 years. And what else can I read there? It was not until, and many of the Protestant congregations did not celebrate it. And this was a mistake. I want to throw that out there. This was a mistake that they did this, you know, because we have liberties. They didn't have to celebrate it with Santa Claus, with wreaths and all that. They could have just celebrated the birth of Christ, and that would have been the correct way to go. But they were so put off by these other customs, these customs that you see that were filled at our houses, and my house in particular, you know, also. And they were so put off by these things, they made it laws in both England and the United States that you could not celebrate it. The one church in particular, the Baptist Church, didn't celebrate it for 130 years. And then in 1772, remember that's about the revolutionary time, they started celebrating it. Okay? Just a couple more slides here, and then it gets better. Who was the first to celebrate Christ's birth? That's back to you. Then. Okay, now we're on track. The Catholic Church did not invent Christ's birth, nor were they the first to even celebrate this. That's what I want you guys to focus on. This was an institution instituted by God Himself. The first ones to celebrate. Let's read about it. I think we read it in Sunday school, or Jerry might have read it this morning. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the host praising God. This is the night that Jesus Christ is born. He was born, and the host of heaven are praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And they told this message, and the shepherds witnessed it, and they recorded it, that the host of heaven were praising God the night he was born, celebrating Christ's birthday. They were the first. And the shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told them. They went and found out this babe in the manger, and they celebrated Christ's birth. They were the second to do so. The angels testified to the shepherds. The shepherds were told to go there, and they celebrated Christmas with Jesus Christ, Mary, and Joseph. There's a couple of pictures to reinforce that. The host of heaven, I don't know if you can see them, but there's a host of heaven. They were singing in heaven that very day. And then you have the shepherds going, finding the Christ, and they celebrated with him. Were they it? No. The wise men came celebrating Jesus Christ. This can be found in Matthew 1 and 2, 10 through 11. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came the wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And they probably had Daniel's record that it would be 70 weeks until the King of the Lord of Lords would be born, and he'd be the Savior of the world. They knew this. They finally seen his star, and they were coming to worship God. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, we celebrate today You know, it's not based on this old ancient custom. We, in our minds, give gifts, what? For that very day. We are reminded of that day and that they gave gifts. And so we exchange gifts. We sing praises unto God. Why? It wasn't that they did it back in Roman times. You know, we sing praises unto God because they did it at the original birth. And so I don't want us to, you know, when we get in a conversation with somebody, our focus is on what heaven did, what man did at that time. That is our focus, not some old Roman thing, not by tradition. Our tradition for the Church of Christ is right here. This is why we do it, and there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I choose to celebrate that great day, as they did. Last slide here. Let us be clear and always remember that Christ is the reason for our celebration of Christmas. Remember that. If it doesn't have Christ, if it is not rooted in the Scriptures, then it's a tradition. It won't hurt you, but we do kind of lose our testimony. And you will be challenged on this, and you're going to lose the argument if you start going, talking about those other secular things. You're going to lose that argument. What you will not lose is the argument why we are celebrating Jesus Christ and Christmas, or the birth of Christ. That's why we do it. It says in Romans here, he that regardeth a day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth it not to the Lord doth not regard it. He that eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth thanks, he eateth not. Let me read the last line. To the Lord he eateth not, he giveth not giveth thanks. All that, what that means is, if we regard the day like Christmas, we do it unto the Lord always. And we give thanks unto the Lord. And we have a lot of liberty, is what Paul's telling us. You know, we don't have to celebrate certain things, you know. But as long as we do it for the Lord. And I choose to celebrate Christmas. And I think it's God is, you know, he doesn't make us do it. It's our choice. And I think he is pleased that we do so. As long as we always focus, whatever we do on Christmas, as long as we remember, that is why we do it. That is our focus. And it's what heaven did. It's what earth did 2,000 years ago. And it was one of their... probably one of their most celebrated things in heaven. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to sing praises. We're going to do it unto the Lord. And we're going to do everything for the Lord. And we're going to do the traditional Christmas, if you will, the birth of Christ today. And with that, that's all I wanted to talk about. I want to get our focus on what's really important.